Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I'm here to tell you today we have a new leader for the Sambo of the Year Award. We have a new leader for the Sambo of the Year Award here in the city of Benton Harbor. And I tell you, I am so excited about, you know, people from all over the country been tuning in for this Sambo of the Year Award, because that's a problem. You see, it's worse than COVID, you know, to have a Sambo in your midst. But look, I don't want to get into the Sambo yet. I got a few things I need to do. Which is so, I want to talk about the struggle that has taken place in recent years in Benton Harbor, a case in point, one that holds a number of lessons for the American people. You see, it's a struggle that we have. I had a conversation with this professor, and he's actually from Benton Harbor. He moved out of here, but he told me something that, you know, that I didn't really think about. He said, you can help people who won't help themselves. He said, you won't. He said, if you had not blew the whistle on the governor and the mayor here, these people would still be drinking that water. He said, yeah, I know that they'll be saying, oh, I don't drink that water. They're lying. They brush their teeth with it. They cook with it. They bathe in it. They make baby formulas in it. He said, that is, and he said, I hear some of the mumbling from these guys, and I just look at them. He said, all I do is look upside their head and say, y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself. You know, he said, one thing he said, and he said this. He said, we have some of the stupidest people in the world living in Benton Harbor, who's supposed to be educated. Who's supposed to be educated. He said, we have some of the stupidest people here in the city of Benton Harbor. You see, he said, I don't get it. I can't see black people being this way. He said, black people is not this way. What happened to us? What happened? I mean, we allow white folks to destroy the future of our children, our community, and everything, and think it's all right. And then when a black man comes to help you, he becomes the worst person in the world. This is the mentality of this city. I mean, it's hard for me to picture the thing. That's why I use the term stick and move, you know. I just keep moving. I don't let these evil, wicked devils get next to me. Like I told them all the time, I don't let them get next to me. I'm just going to keep moving. See, this whole trip is ordained by God. There's no way possible a black man in today's world could have accomplished everything that I have accomplished and the Benton Harbor Community Watertown. It's impossible. Because these white folks, they hate to see that. And you got black people who hate to see it. You see, the only thing that matters is that we take care of our community. And that's where we fail. There's so much money coming through Benton Harbor. And I use the word coming through because it's not stopping. One example, the 50 days, they got over $40 million for these pipes to be repaired. And none of it stayed right here in the city. None. You know, they up here jumping up and down because 98% of the pipes, that's our work. That ain't none of their work. And we put that pressure. But there's going to be a penalty for this because white folks don't like black people who know what to do. They don't like it. They don't like it. See, black people are not supposed to know nothing. You see, long as you don't know nothing, you could be their friend. You could hang out with government. You could even say, oh, I could be mayor in St. Joe, which is the most ridiculous thing a person has ever heard. There's no such thing, you see. Black people, black people, black people. We got to get better. We got to get better. And this professor said something. He said, this whole thing that's going on today, if black people was together, can you imagine what they can accomplish? He said, we got all these wannabes. And he specifically said, Marcus' mom, he said, he is the lowest thing on earth. Now, I didn't say that, which I feel this way also, that he's the lowest thing on earth. But just because I said he's the lowest thing on earth. He said, a snake is not lower than him. He said, he knew about this water crisis and did nothing. Going on to I call the press. That ain't how you notify people about the condition of the water. A notification has to be sent out. He said, I don't see how people hang around with him. I said, they do. I told it was me. If I owned a barbershop, I wouldn't cut his hair. If I owned a grocery store, I wouldn't sell him food. I would bar him from coming into my establishment. If I owned a gas station, I would not allow him in there. But this is what he said. He said, but I don't understand how these people are so naive. And he said, that's why I classify them as the dumbest community, not only in Michigan, but in the whole United States. He said, I hear what they be saying. And I just look at them. I said, and then I tell them all the time, y'all got to be smarter than this. The reason why everything, even our school system, is a big zero. It's a zero, you know. But it's a zero because we allow it to be a zero. It's not a zero because of any other reason. It's a zero because we don't want to do nothing. We don't want to say nothing. If we say something, they might come out. They're coming after you and your children now. They're tearing you and your children up right now and the next generation. This is what they're doing right now. And there's no pushback. If I don't push back, nobody push back. Do you know that we have kept the Black Economy Network Community Organization that kept over 100 people from going to prison? That's right. Over 100. And over. When they listen, we win. If you don't listen, that's on you. I don't get mad because you don't want to listen. I don't get mad at all on you. You know, one of the prosecutors came up, well, Reverend Pinkney, you're practicing law without, no, I'm giving them spiritual advice. Because if you don't listen to me spiritually, it's not going to work out. Everything is spiritual. And that's what black people have to learn. It's not how much money you got. It's not how big your house is. It's not how what kind of car. It's what's in your heart, you see, where we missing the point. It is what in your heart. And that's important. We have to show our children that we love them, we care about them, and we're willing to fight for them. There's nothing more important in this whole wide world. Nothing. No matter what. There's nothing more important in this whole wide world than the future of our children right now. They got us thinking that we're each other's enemy. They think, you know, they're quick to shoot and kill you over what you put on Facebook. They're quick to kill you if you step on their shoes. And this white man walking around here with a size 18 shoe up your butt and you're not saying a mumbling word. Not a word. Your parents ain't saying a word. I ain't going to mess with them because they going to come after me. But boy, let's go over to the courthouse and watch what's going on. I ain't going over there and mess with them people. That's the problem. That's the problem. That's the problem that we're facing today. And we got to get it right, because we don't have it right. You see, we don't have it right. And we can't say we got it right. We're messed up. I'm going to tell you just like it is. What I see now, and it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better, because nobody really wants to get involved. Here's what the city, this was all on the news. They put some signs out, don't shoot. Do you honestly believe that's going to stop someone from shooting somebody? Get real. If you shoot somebody, and you end somebody's life, you're in a prison for life. You know. Come on now. That's too stupid. You got to sit down with these people and talk to them. You got to, these children, you got to talk to them. And you got to be truthful. You can't be lying to them. You got to tell them the truth. The news need to come out and talk about people putting out signs saying don't do this. That is the stupid. If they could read, they wouldn't be shooting nobody no way. You got to go all the way back to the root of the problem to solve this problem. You know, you got to go to the root of the problem. If you're not at the root of the problem, you're not going to solve it. That's simple. And you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure that out. Nah, you do not have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure that out. That's right. You do not have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure that one out. Yeah. Yeah. A sign is not going to stop no kids from killing each other. That's what they expect from us. You know, this is how stupid we are. We used to be one of the smartest in the world. They tried to belittle us, saying that we wasn't smart. But we're intelligent. We use critical thinking, common sense. They didn't use common sense. They didn't use that. But we did. But now, that's a lost art right now. It's a lost art. Nobody really cares. That's right. People just don't care. They don't care. They don't care about what's going on in their community. They don't. Especially if they think it don't affect you. Everything goes on in the community affects you, whether you like it or not. Everything that goes on in this community affects you. Everything, you see. If the guy across the street get his car stolen, that affects you. You see, that's why we have to work as a team. We can no longer work as an individual. We can't do it. That is not going to work. We cannot work as individuals. No way. You know, and that's reality, whether we like it or not. And you got to realize, it's important for the community to see all this that's going on, you know, and you got to tell folks, you got to talk to people, you got to let them know that that things is going on today, you know, crucial. That's crucial. You have to let people know what's going on inside the community. You see, because that's one thing we don't do. We're so afraid to stand up to white folks. Oh, I ain't scared of white folks. I'm not scared of the white folks. Yes, you are. You are so afraid of white folks that you're scared to death. You're scared to death of white folks. You're scared to death. You're scared to death of white folks. And that's a fact. You are. You can lie to some people, but you can't lie to me about that, because I know black people. Comfort zone that they do. And they'll fight people who they know they probably could whoop. If they think for a minute they can't whoop that person, they're not fighting, you see. But in a war, you never know. You never know in a war what you can do, you see. And remember this, our history was written by those at home, our heroes. Given that fact, it is therefore foolish to believe that history taught in our school or taught to us is true. There's no way. Listen to this. This is crucial. Our history was written by those who hung us, hung our heroes, hung people. They went to church on Sunday morning, maybe got there at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, got out about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and they went out and hung a black man, maybe a black whole family. And nobody said a mumbling word. You see, it was okay to hang black people. And it's okay today because they got out shooting and killing each other. But our history was written by those that hung us and killed us. Our heroes was hung us. So how can we think for a moment that these people are going to do the right thing? Think about this. I like to talk about the Holocaust, because the Black Holocaust, because it's important. You see, most black people never hear this kind of talk. They don't hear it. You won't hear it in school. You won't hear it anywhere when they're talking about the Black Holocaust. You won't hear it. And it's really the best kept secret, because they don't know the state. They don't want you to know the suffering of black people, because you just might get mad and rise up. We have a history that's rich, Israelites. Yeah, we have a history that's rich. And they try to demean us any way they can. Anytime that you have a hero, someone who actually doing something, you won't see them in the newspaper in a good light. That's not going to happen. You're not going to see them in the newspaper in a good light. They will never, ever, ever write something good about a black person that's actually doing something that makes sense. Like they put in the newspaper about these signs. Now, what I would have done, I would have had me a little luncheon for these kids and invited them and then got a chance to talk to them. That's what I normally do. And at that time, we had things under control. We had things under control at that time. But unfortunately, it was working. See, you got some entities here who don't want black folks to be successful. They don't want black people to be, they want you to continue to kill each other. Matter of fact, they'll buy you a gun and put it in your hand and make sure that you kill somebody. They'll put something on Facebook that the person didn't even put on Facebook for you to go out there and attack. This is how this system is. It's designed just this way. And we fall right into the trap, you see. And when you talk about the Holocaust from 1619 to 1861, more than 15 million Africans were sold into slavery. Over 35 million were killed by the slave trade. 35 million was killed. And nobody ever talked about this. Nobody. Black folks don't even talk about this. Afraid that the white man gonna find out that he's talking about this and come after him. That's what they do. You see, and then what they try to do, they use that term divide and conquer. You see, so you can easily separate black people You just give them a few dollars. You give them a few dollars, they're your friend forever. That's right. All you have to do is give them a few dollars. That's it. I mean, the other person could have gave them hundreds of dollars. But you give them a few dollars a day, they're going to do what you want them to do. If that even means killing. Because they'll do things for white folks. You see. And you got to remember the Holocaust, the Black Holocaust, there was nothing bigger than that here in this country. There was nothing bigger than the Holocaust. They always stand up for the Jews, you know. These ain't real Jews. The real Jews are the black folks, and they know it. The real Jews are the black folks. You see, they don't want black folks to know, because black folks is not going to read. You can read it to them. That's why they get away with a lot of this stuff. Black folks get away, white folks get away with it, because they know black folks have no intention of going beyond the call of duty. When I talk about the Black Holocaust, it hurts me. It really do. The way they do black people. The way they do black people, and we have black people selling out like just like them. There was a tribe that sold more than 3 million Africans to the slave trader. More than 3 million. Can you imagine what that's like? Man. And we want to be sellouts to these white devils? We want to kiss their butt? No way. I'd rather die. I'd rather die than stand around here kissing their butts. Ain't nothing in this world they can give you. Nothing. You know, the only weapon they got, they can send you to jail. That's what they do. That ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. But that's the weapon they use on black. That's what they're doing to black people now to try. They're fighting. They're destroying us on all angles. One, they got us killing each other for no reason. Any reason. No reason. They kill you. They send you to prison with no evidence, with nothing. And they're killing you. They're killing our baby at birth. More black babies die during birth at least four times that of whites. So if five babies are born, four of them is going to die. You can bet your life on it. And nobody even talk about it. Nobody even talk about it. Lakeland Hospital have a long history of killing our babies. Nobody talked about it. I had the president of Lakeland at my house. He trying to convince me. You can't convince me. He was there 4 or 5 hours trying to convince me that they doing all they can. No, you can do better. Was you the only one hollering? You're right. I am. And that's why you guys come after me. But I'm ready for you. You got something for me, bring it on. I know how you white devils work. I know what you guys do. And you've been getting away with it for so long. You use the same playbook that you've been using all your life. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Today, we're still in slavery as a people that has been traumatized for over 450 years. 450 years of abuse, mistreatment, torture, hanging, rape, men and women. They've been raping men and... See, they don't talk about the part where the men get raped. You see, that's homosexuality, isn't it? But they don't want to talk about how men was getting raped
during slavery, almost as often as the women. But they never, ever talk about. See, one thing about them, since they write the history, they're only going to let certain things be included in the history. I mean, all the evil and wickedness that has happened to black folk. And we walk around here like these folks are something. They ain't nothing to me. They ain't nothing. If you want to be like them, you ain't nothing to me. If you want to be like these white devils, then you just as bad as they are. 450 years of abuse, mistreatment, hanging, raping. You know, we may look like people with no hope, but God has chosen us. We're the chosen one. God has chosen us. Child, God has chosen us. See, freedom is acquired by conquest, not by gift. And we're still enslaved. It must be pursued constantly and responsibly. Freedom is not an idea located outside of man, nor is it an idea which become a myth. It is rather an indispensable condition for the quest for human completion. That's right. My previous thoughts is either strike a blow for freedom for the future of your children, for your community, or put dirt over your body, your head. Bury yourself, because that's what you're doing anyway. Burying yourself. That is what you're doing. If you don't stand up for the future of your children, the future of your children, then you should just go somewhere and bury yourself. Put dirt over your head. Well, that's what you deserve, you see. And that's why we're in this position. Now, we do have some folks that are not sellouts that's doing well. See, you don't have to sell your soul to the devil in order to do well. All you have to do is stay focused on the big picture. And the big picture is your children. What would my son think of me if I sold out my family, my community, my city? What will my daughter think of me if she found out that I was a sellout? What would she think of me? Wow. And we walk around here like we're something. And remember this. Material things is not that important. Because when you die, you can't take none of it with you. You cannot take anything with you when you die. Can't take no clothes. Can't take no money. You can't take no car. You can't take no house. You can't take nothing with you when you die. When they put you in that box, you are gone. What legacy have you left here for your children? I was an elected official, but I was a sellout. I was an elected official, but I was a sellout. I was an elected official, but I was a sellout. Unbelievable. And that's how the birth of the Sample of the Year Award came alive. I just want to tell everybody, we have a new leader. We have a new leader for the Sample of the Year Award. We have a new leader. We have a new leader for the Sample of the Year Award. That's right. And I tell you, and I'm applauding the people for taking the time out to vote. Because I tell you, my goal is 10,000. I would never dream in a million years that 10,000 people will be voting for the Sample of the Year Award. And, you know, I know black folks, you know, they ain't going to do it. Most of them is not going to bust a grape. They're not going to bust a grape. They'll talk a good gang and, all this kind of stuff. Their talk is cheap. But that's what they do. See, they think when they say something with no action that the average person thinks is okay. And they do. Because that's how black people think here, too. See, when the professor told me that these were some of the dumbest people in the world that lived in Benson Harbor, I didn't defend him because I think he's right. I think we have some of the dumbest people in the world living here. And the only thing that's saving them is me. I'm the only one that's saving them. That's right. You can take it or leave it. I don't care. I don't care what people say. I wouldn't give them that much power over me, you see. But what we're dealing with all these samples. I would say that Benton Harbor got more samples per capita probably than any place else in the world. Here's the best example I can give you. We got a new leader, and the leader is the one and only Ron Singleton. He has shot to the top once again. Him and his Marcus Muhammad, you might call him Marcus Muhammad, he's Marcus Singer to me. He's Marcus Singer to me because he lost that title. See, Muhammad is a title. And you most likely you earn it. And unfortunately, this guy didn't earn it. He's probably one of the worst person in the whole wide world. That's what this professor said. He said, I don't see it. He said, I don't even see how he, well, I have to admit, I was 100% behind this guy. I was behind him. And I wanted him to be mayor here. And I figured he would do the right thing because of Minister Louis Farrakhan. But unfortunately, he has not. His only goal is himself. He don't even love his children. That's the type of guy he is. He only wants something for himself, materialistic, you see. And anytime you're materialistic, you could be bought and sold. And let me say, see, Ron Singleton shot to the top. And I think it's because people know he stole the radio station from the Kelly family and the community. I believe that's the reason that he's hanging at the top. Anytime a person steal a whole radio station, bully the family, and think it's all right, we know he's the problem. He's Commissioner Ron Singleton. Yeah, he's Commissioner Ron Singleton. And he's going to get his, you know. He's not getting away, you know. He may think he's getting away, but he's not getting away with nothing. His day is going to come. And it's going to rain down stones all over him. Stole the whole radio station. But that ain't all. He's the one who brought Carlton Lynch to the city of Benton Harbor so he could rob Pilgrim Rest. I wonder if he's getting a cut of that because he's more like a money man, you know. He do things for money. I wonder, knowing that this guy, who you see, when he went to Fort Wayne to pick up Ron Singleton, when Ron Singleton went to Fort Wayne to pick up Carlton Lynch, the community, everybody told him, you don't want this guy. He told him, you don't want him. You don't want him at your church. He steals. He raped women. He's a problem, a major problem. But instead of him listening, he brought him into our community And this guy is really, 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 when I say really, robbed this community. I mean, it's a bad community anyway. Let's face the fact. This is not a good community. It's not. I would say more than 90% of the people that live here are people who you probably can't trust. I would say maybe 2% of the people here you probably can't trust. But you got to find them. That's the difference. So that's why we have Ron Singer has shot to the top. He has 7,427 votes. Ron Singleton has 7,427 votes. He's followed by, I'm sorry. That's not accurate. He has 7,840 votes. 7,840. Ron Singleton, I mean, wow. Over 800 people voted for him from yesterday until 12 o'clock today. Over 800 people. Wow. And that's 7,840 votes, Ron Singleton there. He is the leader. He's the leader. Then you have Mayor Marcus Muhammad. I call him Muhammad. Okay, I'll go ahead and call him Muhammad. He has 7,629 votes. That's right. 7,629 votes. Wow. I'm excited. So we only need 2,100 to get to 10,000. Marcus got 7,629. Dwayne Seeks. You know him. Dwayne Seeks got 7,622 votes. Let me repeat that. 6,622 votes. That's right. 6,622 votes, Dwayne Seeks. He's followed by his mother with 7,609 votes. Let me repeat that. 6,000. They're still coming in. I see the votes. They're still coming in. People still vote. I love it. Wow, what a day. Man, people take the time out to do something on this level. This is huge. This is huge. People are actually taking the time out of their busy to send me an email and vote for these slam balls, these scumbags. They actually sending me an email. Wow. I don't have time to tally them, but I'll do that. I'll make sure I have that count for Sunday. And they're coming in. Oh, this is beautiful. We have one of the largest listening audience. There is. It's huge, the listening audience. And I respect that because they can sit around and listen to me all day. We got something here. We got something good. But anyway, let's go back to Mama Seeks. Mama Seeks, okay, I'm going to count these three. She got 7,612 votes. 7,612. 7,612 votes for my letter seats. That's right. She has. It's going down. I'm so happy that people are still voting because
My goal, the deadline is November the 8th. November the 8th at midnight. You can vote up until November the 9th for the Sambo of the Year Award. Oh, we got some Sambos here. You sit around here and think everything is peaches and cream. It ain't. There's nothing more important than our children and the future of our children, whether you like it or not. And I don't care. I don't care whether you don't like it. See, that's the difference between me and you. I do not care whether you like it or not. I do not care whether you like it or not. I do not care whether you like it or not. I don't care. Only thing I care about is the future of this community and our children. If you don't like it, too bad. Too bad. Anyhow, let me move down to Judge Mayfield. Judge Mayfield is up there a little bit. She has 7,596. Let me repeat that. 7,596 for Judge. See, she's the baby snatcher. She's the one been snatching babies from this community for years. You know, and nobody say nothing. It's because everybody saw, oh, when you mention the courthouse, everybody go nuts. When you mention the courthouse, people are so intimidated by this courthouse that they're afraid. Look, all you can do is die once. So stop the madness. This is how they expect us to be a dying generation of people. And you're falling right into that trap. You're falling right into the trap. Because they know that black people are scared. They're scared of police. They're scared of white folks. They're scared of the courthouse. They, you know, anything white, they be trying to be their friend. These people are not your friend. People are not your friend. They have no intention of being your friend. That's a fact. They have no intention of being your friend. Most of the time, they don't even like you. The only reason, if they can't get something out of you, they're not going to mess with you. We got to change. We got to change the way we do business. I know y'all hate it when I tell you this. Hey, go ahead and hate on. I don't care. No, but the bottom line, I don't do what I do for you. I do it for your children, you see, because they can't help themselves. They don't know no better. So you keep on hating on. I'm doing everything I can to help your children. That's what we ask. You see, when you talk about the Sambo of the Year Award, don't see it. I don't see how you could be somebody's friend that's selling your children. I don't see it. You know, I know a lot of people really don't like him. He's a high-five kind of high-five people because he see him. And I know because he know I don't like him. You know, and that's a terrible thing to say. You don't like somebody. I don't like him. You see, I don't like him for what he has done to this community, what he's doing to the children, what he's doing to his own children. I don't like it. I don't like him. You see, but you know, but I still do what I have to do. I don't let that stop me. You know, a lot of times people, I don't let that stop me from doing taking care of the community. You see. Because you ain't going to do nothing with him. Because he can't do nothing unless the white folks tell him. And I would never thought in a million years that a person from the Nation of Islam would be a butt kisser. I grew up around the Nation of Islam. I never known them to be like this guy. And that's why I'm hesitant about everything. I just can't believe that things are like it is. I can't. If you told me things was like this, I would say no. But unfortunately, that's just the way it is. Listen, let me bring in my third guest and let him talk and see where he at. Dr. Tyne, talk to me. What's going on, Dr. Tyne?
Yeah, I think what's so important right now, I Sorry, I'm running late. I was trying to help some other people get ready for Thursday. You know, Thursday night is when you're going to be on, and we're going to be standing up protecting the patients from the grassroots, and we're going to be fighting the mistreatment of seniors in particular, that people don't realize that these insurance companies now want to charge you separate. If you get a colonoscopy, they want to charge you to take the tumor out. If you're having a breast cancer and you're getting chemotherapy, they want you to pay for the blood test before you get your chemo. If you're having a heart attack and it's because of a narrow one, they want to pay separate for the stent. So we said enough is enough when they made $4.5 billion in salary. They took $4.5 billion from the patients by limiting their care, limiting the medications, limiting the treatments, limiting the services, limiting what they're even the home care, what they were able to provide, and they put that in their pocket. So they're liars when they say cost sharing, because they just want you to pay the cost and share the money into their salary. And so we can't go for that. Next thing is that patients don't have no responsibility to make the diagnosis. That's the diagnosis is made by the doctor. So trying to have you pay for a biopsy to help make the diagnosis, that's not medical, and that's businessmen. And they are lying because the money has all went into their salary. We're going to expose that. We're also going to expose the fact that that now you can't find black doctors. We looked at Wayne State University, and we found that 50% of the doctors in the first-year medical school are white. But then we found that 34.5% were Arab, and that the blacks that were mixed with from the islands and from Africa and stuff, that's 8%. But us who are from the Dosa, the descendants of enslaved Africans in America, that's D-O-E-S-S-A, D-O-E-S-A-A, D-O-E-S-A-A, Dosa, D-O-E-S-A-A, descendants of enslaved Africans in America, we are 0.3%, 0.3% in the medical school freshman class at Wayne State. And then we find out this is happening at University of Michigan and other places, that the leadership has failed because they tried to be nice and they didn't play nice because they didn't respect us. And so now they're leaving us out. Since we asked for reparations, they wind up now setting it up that we don't exist. So they're trying to make sure that the education class does not exist. They're trying to make sure that we don't have black engineers, black doctors, black lawyers, black professionals, so that who would speak up against the wrong that they're doing, but more people who are going to be going around to get along. So we got that situation going on. But they're not paying attention that we are the Dosa. Like they have the Ogoji and the woman king, that warrior class of the Dome women who fought against slavery. Mm-hmm. Then we have the Dora Milaje in the Black Panther who were the fighters. Now we are the fighters. We are the Dosa that we have to fight for our children, fight for our future, because no other group can stand next to us. No other group is considered three-fifths human in the Constitution. No other group is considered not to be a citizen or to have any rights to be respected according to the United States Supreme Court decision of the Dred Scott decision. No other people in the United States existed when they put the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment, which is slowly for the African, slowly for the black man and black woman, the 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment, that was us paying the price, dying for those things. No one else paid the price in doing the civil rights, human rights movement that caused us to get the civil rights bill. Death caused the civil rights bill. People died so that we had the civil rights bill. So there has been no nonviolent revolution. The only thing that we didn't fight back in the nonviolent revolution, but those whites, those European Americans, they killed us. They slayed us. And so now these groups come in here that after we did all that, that we're going to be 0.3% and the Arabs are going to be 34.5%, and then they still have slavery in their countries as we speak in 2022 of October. So, no, there's something wrong with that picture. We cannot use the same methods like before. We have to use your methods, because here it is in Benton Harbor. We got our pipes fixed, and Flint hasn't got their pipes fixed. So trying to play the get-along, quiet, backdoor stuff is wrong. trying to do the get along backdoor stuff is wrong, because that's why our children are in a situation they are today. We are guilty of allowing the school system to be a system to put them towards prison. We're guilty of making sure that they're not educated to think for themselves. We're guilty of that. We're guilty of adults fighting so hard to get weed but not fighting to be freed. The adults are fighting so hard to get weed but not fighting to be freed. Because here we are, we're still not considered humans, and we still don't have human rights. And so this is why we're going to be doing this fight on Thursday, so that our mothers and our grandmothers are going to be protected as well as our children. Because we're not going to be allowing them to pimp us, exploit us, and use us like they've done before. And what we have to understand now, what you're doing is right. Those who sell us out, we got to call out. Those who sell us out, we got to call out. Those who sell us out, we got to call out. And we have to allow the new Angela Davises, the new Shakata Sakuras, the new Queen Mother Moores, the new Sandra Blands. We need to have those people moving forward. We need to have the new Malcolm X's. We need the new Marcus Garvey's. We need the new last 2 years of Martin Luther King's life, when all you black people didn't like him. When that's right, I'm going to say it again. The last 2 years of his life, black people did not like Martin Luther King. They did not love Martin Luther King. The black churches did not love Martin Luther King. They banned him from speaking at the churches. The only church he could speak was down in Detroit at Reverend Gregg's church, Reverend Clegg, the black Madonna in Detroit, because they turned on him. And now everybody, now that he's dead, they want to love him like Jesus. See, they don't want, like you right now, they're going to love you in maybe 30, 40 years when you pass away, then everybody's going to love you. But right now, you're going to have your haters, you see. And so this is what we have to realize what's going on, that we have to do what's right. And we have to also look at the scripture and say that what the scripture said, that you have to first love your neighbor. And back during Christ's time, every single neighbor that Christ was around looked like him, because there was segregation back there. The Romans stayed with the Romans, the Greeks stayed with the Greeks, and the Hebrews stayed with the Hebrews, and you were the Hebrew. So that's why in Revelation 1:14 it says that his hair was wool, that his eyes were red like he was in angry, because when he come back, he's pissed off, and his voice was deep like rolling waters, so he got that James Earl Jones voice, or Barry White voice, and that his feet were burnt. Yeah, his feet was burnt, and that, like, burnt bronze. And it also said in the 16th edition was the King James. But the early editions before the King James, it said that his skin was like the soot of a chimney's coat. So this is what we have to look at, that he were around the people that looked like me and you, and he came to tell us to love one another that look like one another. And so if you want to do the Christianity, that's fine, but that means that you're going to have to love black, because God made you black. And in Genesis from chapter 2:7 to 2:13, it tells you that he took the black dirt and breathed into it. Man became a living soul, and he told you that he had the Garden of Eden and Pizan, which is on the land of Havilah, which is Nubia, and he also had Gion, also in the land of Cush or Ethiopia, or whatever you want to call it. In other words, he had the Garden of Eden in Benton Harbor or Detroit or Southside Chicago. That's what was going on. So we have to start loving ourselves, standing up with each other and fighting together. And those brothers and sisters who want to come along, who may be from Europe, who may be from Asia, they cannot bring their own agenda. They have to only speak our agenda and support our agenda. Because what they do is they come in and misuse us. And you see how the Hispanics now have shown their color. And now you see that they see us as NIGs, as niggas. We already had new that we were already Native Americans now, when America gave them $18 million now. Now they want to kick out all the black Indians who have been there for the last 300 years. They no longer Indian after 300 years, now that the white man money came in. And then we also see the problem in Haiti, where we're the ones, we got a house Negro in Haiti who's selling the people out, trying to break the people so that they can country be taken over. No, they got to get rid of him. So we have to start now, this new day, as we in the last days, that we have to start standing up as the men of faith, as women of faith. whether it be Islam, whether it be the Hebrew faith, whatever faith it be other than Satan, whatever faith that it be of the ancestors, that we have to make sure that we look to the future so we have something to leave our children. Remember, the Egypt looked to the future to leave us what we have today. Kush looked to the future to leave us what we have today. All the great African civilizations are still there in 2022 to make sure that we would remember. And that's the one thing that they took away from us is our memory. And once we get our memory, our mental health will start to go down. Once we get our memory, our violence towards one another will go down. Once we get our memory, the killing of children to children will go down. Once we get our memory, babies having babies will go down. Once we have our memory, then we won't no longer tolerate poverty. Once we have our memory, then we'll no longer shuck and jive, that we'll be out here trying to save each other's lives. So this is what we have to do. So what we have to do is remember that we are the Xhosa. We are the descendants of enslaved Africans in America, and we are the best of the best and the blessed of the blessed because no other race survived what we did because the other ones are called genocide because they're dead. So we are the blessed of God. We are the anointed of God, and we are the love of God because we have not had any hatred in our heart for no man, for no woman. It is them, the others, that have hated on us.
Amen. Amen. Amen again. I tell you, that is wonderful. You know, thinking about all this, we got a long way. You know, I'm excited about your program coming up this Thursday. Is there a way that people
let me say, I can give you a phone number that people can call in. But let me say this, but right, people also need to remember.
Why don't you give me the phone number 239, then send me the link. And do you want me to send it out to people?
Yes, please. Everybody's invited because this is our fight. And the thing is, Arabs now are calling themselves Arab Asians. Arab now are calling themselves Arab Asians, and they're saying that they're from Asia Minor, Asia Major. So now they're calling themselves Asians. And people don't know that North Asia is actually where you have the landmass or the peninsula called Europe. Europe is actually not a country. It's a peninsula. So they take so the people who are small make themselves look big. So the European population is one of the smallest populations on the planet Earth, but because they have TV, they make themselves look bigger.
Absolutely. And I tell you, well, here, why don't you get that phone number? We got a couple of minutes. Why don't you get that phone number out and then send me the email, and I'll send it out to my list because especially now I got such a huge list now. I'm apportioning it up to four or five different groups. So you send it to me, and I'll send it out.
Okay, so this is what's going on right now. I'm gonna. If you don't mind, I'd like to work with the organization called Banco to have them forward the information to you.
Yeah.
So I kind of work with Banco. So I'm working with Banco. So that information is to you. And the phone number is 312-626-6799. 312-626-6799. 312-626-6799. Last time. 312-626-6799. And then what you're going to do is they're going to ask you for a meeting ID. And the meeting ID is 835-7668-6760. 835-7668-6760. 835-7668-6760. So once you click onto that, that's going to take you to the meeting. And so it's for everybody. And we're also going to have a part where we have a little question and answer. And so we're going to expose all of this wrong. We're going to have two of the health insurance companies there. And we let them know we're not playing no games. So don't try to suck and jive or lie. We will cut you out and call you out. So we have to keep it real. We got to protect the patient-physician relationship. We have to restore the patient-physician relationship. We can't have now businessmen run us, because businessmen and businesswomen are, for the most part, in my scientific analysis, for the most part, are bastards. So that's how I see them. And I'll finish with this. The relationship between a business person and a physician. So this is how you know if you got a real doctor or you got a doctor who's being pimped. Because the difference between the businessman and the physician is this. Businessmen take an oath to protect profits. Physicians take an oath to protect patients. Businessmen look out for stockholders, where the physician looks out for the baby holders, which are the parents and the grandparents. Businessmen see numbers, where a physician sees patients. Businessmen try to save dollars, where a physician try to save lives. So your doctor is supposed to be about the business of trying to save your life. And if he's trying to save money, then he's not the one for you, honey.
There you go. But look, I would definitely be on, and I don't want you to resend that the link for me. Well, so send me the link that I can send out now, but then I want you to resend the link to me so I can get it out to people. And,
okay.
I want you to have a large crowd, because they need to hear what you got to say. Because I think it's very, very important.
But where do you want me to send it to?
Send it to Banco. Send it to my Banco email.
Okay, I sent it there, but I'm going to send it in an easier form as well. So what I'm going to do is what I've done is I've sent it to you several ways.
Yeah.
And I'll
get it out to y'all all day today. I'll be sending it out, and I'm gonna make sure the people send it. I want them to listen in. But look, I don't have no more time, Doc. I gotta let you go.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, then we'll talk soon. Let's make it happen. All right, now that's my good buddy.